Father, we thank you this morning that we have the privilege of standing before you as an oracle. We know that as a fact. Your word is going to come forth this morning. Therefore, lives are going to be changed. We'll accept no other report. This is a fact. This is not up for a vote. So we receive it not as a pain, not as a problem, but with thanksgiving do we receive it. We do it in advance. We're going to be healed and we're going to be set free today. In Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know what we're going to do this morning, but we'll just get started and find out. How about that?
Amen.
Can I ask you something? What gives you the right to pray? It says, so what? What does it say? That's a command. That's not a right. Okay, one is a command that we're to do so. One is fellowship with God through Christ Jesus. How did he tell us to pray? Praise. Putting him first. Then we can ask for what we need, not what we want. And then we reiterate again that it's all about him, not about us. I think we forget that often. And when we forget that in the way we talk to Jesus, then we forget it in the way we live our lives. There's no higher example than Jesus. Freedom of speech. No way in the world have we ever been given the freedom of speech. When Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way, it takes away your freedom of speech. And yet the church has spent most of its life trying to set us free in praying for anything we want. Right? And the way I know this, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that we will never pray bad on anybody. Because we think we know the difference between bad and good. And yet in one place in the Bible it commands us to release flesh to Satan so in the latter part of their lives they'll not go to destruction. If I'm different in any way, I'm not afraid to turn people over to God and his will. I didn't say I wasn't hesitant sometimes, but once the thought process is there, I'm not afraid. And let me tell you how this works out. If I'm not afraid of God's will in my life, then I'm not a bit afraid of God's will in yours. But if I'm afraid to pray God's will in somebody's life, then I'm afraid to have it in mine. That's just common sense, right? Too many times we want to walk on eggshells and we'll take a scripture and give it to somebody and they'll say, oh, well, that means that you don't want God's word applying to your life. Therefore, you're afraid to apply it to somebody else's. I can't imagine somebody being afraid, Bill, for me to pray God's will into your life. I can't imagine being afraid to do that. But many Christians are, because it might bring some toughness or some roughness to your life. It's God's will, it's good, right? I mean, my goodness, we're products of death. We're products of Jesus' death. But if we had been there, we'd have been the people saying, oh no, this can't be. Come on. That's who we are in our society. Our society nearly has more influence on us than the Word of God does. We are products of a death, burial, and resurrection. And we proudly proclaim that. But we don't want to see that in anybody's life, especially mine. And I just have a hard time swallowing that one. If I eat everything that I can find and weigh 400 pounds, you're going to say to me, you need to stop eating so much. Or maybe you'll even be afraid to say that. Come on. When's the last time you looked at a fat person and said, don't eat so much? When you know good and well it's the truth and it can set them free. We nearly walk in fear of the truth, and yet we want to say we're products of truth. Now, I do know that we're supposed to say things with some kind of restraint, but not fear. I caught myself the other day walking in fear. We sit down for a meal with Bob and Karen. Karen had recently told me she's got to quit drinking. Every time she drinks milk, she puts on weight. She told me that. Then she says, I've got to lose this weight. And I sat down at that meal, and she ordered milk. Now look, I'm not against milk. I drink milk. But if I say that it's harmful for me and I drink it, you need to tell me it's harmful for me because I have said that. Right? And I didn't want to say, Karen, you told me you wanted to lose weight. Why are you drinking milk? Because I was a little bit afraid. Finally, I just said it. Hey, you said you get fat when you drink milk. What are you drinking milk for? I didn't say that. Oh, yes, you did. I have witnesses. You know what that's about? It's denying the truth. Denying the truth in our lives. You know what the truth does for us? It sets us free. Does it sting a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it sets us free. What part of the truth do we want to operate in? Jesus died for me, therefore I am free. Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. Or is that all of it? It's not all of it. There's more. Part of the more that I want to talk to you about this morning is our responsibility to deal in the truth. Part of taking up your cross and following me is admit there was a cross, admit that it accomplished something in your life, and walk in that. Don't be afraid of it. And the hardest part of religion as we know it today is to really grasp what took place in our lives with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We don't want to deal in the fullness of that because it's absolutely scary. I don't know why it's scary. It should be liberating, but it's scary. Now today we're going to talk about freedom, the cross-giving freedom. And part of that, it's all-encompassing. It's your worthiness. It's your righteousness. It's your holiness. But one of the things, and we've dealt with this already, I'm going to deal with it again. If I walk up to you, Chuck, and said, you're righteous, and you're holy, and you're worthy, there's something in you that starts wanting to say, no, I'm not. There's something in us that wants to deny our holiness and our righteousness and our worthiness. And too many times we yield to that more than we do the truth. And the problem is, when we yield to that, then the unworthiness becomes more real than the worthiness. Yeah. Now, I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about me, too. It's something that humans have to deal with. And I know in the charismatic circle, if you've ever hung around there very long, you've got the places full of people that are dancing like butterflies saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, until the first test comes. Until the first test comes. And then you find out they're not so free. Why? What is that? Guys, what is that that causes us to say, I'm free, I'm righteous, I'm holy, and then the first time a problem comes up, we, with our lifestyle, we prove it to be wrong. What is that? Chuck, what is it that we know we're healed, and yet we get sick? What is that? He said it's fear and lack of trust. I'm going to tell you it's one more thing, and I think it's the most important part that we don't practice, because it's work. I heard a story this week where there's a couple in their house and a guy posing as a policeman tried to come in, force his way in. I don't know that they totally know the motive, but he tried to force his way and he had a knife. And this man of the house did something that Christians won't even do when the intruder tries to break into them. He attacked, he took the knife, and he killed the guy with his own knife. Now, that intruder won't be doing that again. It was totally righteous. It was totally legal. And I don't care what any Christian or law enforcement officer says, it was right. Something raised up in that guy, and he took control. Absolutely, his wife, too. His wife helped, believe me. Yeah, she did some attacking, too. I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you, the point being here is the place we miss it the most is we don't enforce our right to be free. We want to be free without any work. We want to say, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. But when the attack comes, we don't want to do any attacking. And yet I don't care whatever any, I'm not going to say that, any old hippie says, the only way you stay free is to fight. Freedom never was free. Jesus proved that. World War I proved it. World War II proved it. We're proving it today. You can't stay free without a fight. Now, what are you saying, Stan? It's pretty simple. You can't stay free without a fight. And what the church has lost is its fight. We don't want to growl. We don't want to get angry. We don't want to stand up for what's right. Now, a few weeks ago, I had this thing, this sore throat. I must have put up with it for a week and a half before it got me down. Finally had to go to bed. You know why? I didn't consider it to be an intruder. I did not. I was too busy to stop and fight. So you just take a little something like a Halls or something and you keep going. And finally it got me down. Yesterday the same thing came. Sore throat and feeling bad. I said, this is not right. I'm not going to have it. I don't deserve it. Do you know what I'm worthy of? Total health.
Yeah, right.
Devil, you can go to hell. I'm not going to take this. It went away. What's the difference? I fought. Did you know when you're feeling bad, it takes a whole lot more effort to fight than when you're feeling good?
Yes, that's right.
But when do you need to fight the most? That's exactly right. Whatever it is. And it doesn't have to just be health. Whatever the attack is, that's when we need to stand up and overcome by the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean? That means point back to what Jesus has already accomplished and the word of your testimony, which means I agree. I move up into it, and it's done in my life. It wasn't done 2,000 years ago. As far as I'm concerned, it was done now.
Amen.
It's fresh as right now. Where that's finances, where it's an attack of the enemy. Now, here's the confusing part. And I don't want to muddle. I don't want to muddy this up. I don't want to water it down. That's what I don't want to do. But let me make a promise to you. The promise of God overcomes any attack except yours. If you put your finger on an anvil and you start beating it with a hammer, God's not going to heal you. You can quote the word all you want to, but you're just being dumb. That's not politically correct either to preach from any pulpit. Now apply that to your life. If you do everything wrong, everything can't turn out right. If you love every greasy food and everything that's bad for you, don't complain if the cholesterol builds up. You earned it. You worked hard at it. You got it, Toyota. Come on. You can't do everything wrong and have it turn out right. You can't have a steady diet of bread and sugar and tortillas and refried beans and be healthy. It's not going to work. I heard a song on television this morning. We got a display down, a medical display somewhere, which shows, has a big, huge nose so you can walk up and see where snot comes from. I kind of knew where that came from, didn't you? I thought that was funny. But one of the things they said they're teaching down there is where gas comes from. And the most amazing thing, if you like carbohydrates and sugars, you're going to have a lot of gas. If you like protein, you won't. Your body's trying to tell you something, people. When you have backfires, stop using that fuel. Well, come on. You get bad gas, you stop, you go somewhere else and get some other fuel, right? This is how simple life is. Come on, I want to break this down real simple. Jesus died on the cross for us. Did he not? To eliminate all of our problems. Then we have some input. Choose you this day. Come on. You choose this day. Well, I chose a long time ago. Not enough. Not enough. And by the way, you know what? When I was real young, there wasn't any food or anything could stop me. You get a little more mileage on you, you got to change some things. That's life. You're not losing spiritually. Your requirements have changed. Right? I shared this with you the other day, a few weeks ago, I should say, about waking up and seeing that 66.6 degrees on my ceiling, where my thermometer shows the temperature. And I realized that I'd seen that way too much. And I don't pay attention. Do you understand that I don't get upset with every little black cat that runs across my path? Black cats don't control me. Never have, never will. I'll walk under a ladder. I'll do any cotton picking thing I want to because I'm free. But this was another one of those times. But the Holy Spirit said, maybe you ought to count these and consider it an attack. You hear me? Sometimes you consider something an attack. The evidence is there. Why? So you can rise up and be more than the attacker. Not so that this is not about a fight. This is about a victory. If we just realize it's not about the fight, it's about the victory. See, the guy that stabbed the intruder, he really wasn't looking to stab somebody. He was looking to win. Okay? That's what our battles are about. I was reminded that the sign over me is 777, no matter what other sign that I read.
Yeah.
Right? I have a mark of the Christ, not the Antichrist. I cursed the cursed, and the worry left. There wasn't a worry there, but I mean, there was other things on my mind. I didn't tell you that, but there was. And that worry left. Because the one thing that you can't fight unless you know you can win. Did you know that? If you walk in a loser, you will not fight. That's common sense too. If I know I'm going to lose, I won't fight. Are you going to agree with that? If you don't, you need to. And that's, I'm afraid, why so many Christians Don't fight. The fight's not in them because the win is not in them yet. You can't be in Christ Jesus and Christ in you and not have some win in you. That make sense? I am free. What does that mean? Well, they like to quote, free from death, hell, and the grave. Well, you're not even free from that. You're still afraid. We start off, most Christians are afraid to die. They're just deathly afraid to die. I'm going to make it seems like an oxymoron, but that seems to be revealed. Just one skip of a heart, and they'll run to a doctor and say, please keep me alive, doc. God can't do it. What am I free from? In Christ Jesus, I'm free from past and defeat and death and sin. I'm free from worry and fear and loss. I'm free from being plucked out by loopholes. You know that? I'm free from being plucked out of the hand of God by loopholes. I'm free from bondage. I'm free from accusations. Why? Because not because none of those are going to come my way. It's because God has told me to cast all of those things on Him. Not that He's going to care for me. It's because He's already cared for me. Does that make sense? Well, Stan, we've heard this before. We're going to hear it again until we don't have to hear it anymore. Right? I'm free from sin. Now listen to me. Sin and salvation, the two greatest words in Christian's vocabulary. Did you know that? The two greatest words we have. The most influential, strongest, largest words we have, if we're smart. Sin is a representation of all evil and our past and what Adam and Eve birthed us into. Right? Salvation is what delivered us from all sin. Sin is what brings death, destruction, sickness, poverty, worry, fear, stress, disease. Salvation is what delivered us from those things. I don't think we're clear enough in Christianity is that in Christ Jesus, we have not only the right, remember what I said about prayer? We not only have the right, we have the command to walk in freedom, walk in peace. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my righteousness. He is my freedom. He is my salvation, right? I have to fight to stay in that position. Sin is eternally going to try to pluck me from that. Sin is the accuser. Sin is the sickness. Sin is the disease. I didn't say if we're sick, we're sinners. I didn't say that. I said you must know the source or you'll never have the fight. We don't have the right to have a sore throat. I didn't the other day. Bob doesn't now. You don't have the right to feel bad. I don't have the right to feel bad. Sin tries to put that on us. What we have the right to do is take dominion, which creates a fight. Now, I didn't say you're going to, I'm healed. Not that kind of fight. That's just a fight to get your breath. The fight that I'm talking about is this thing that's coming to control your mind, which will eventually control your whole body and finances. You get that off of you by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Then you stand. You fight, and then you stand. And if you, this is eternal, I mean internal in you. Here, wherever you want to say it. The Holy Spirit is faithful to minister. If the Holy Spirit is not warning you of something, don't worry about something. Amen. Just give God praise. But if there's something that comes up in you, you realize you're feeling bad. That is not an important thing to know. The important thing to know is what you're going to do about it. Now, you have a choice. You can go to the doctor, or you can go to the doctor.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
You have a physician on staff 24/7. You have an advocate on staff 24/7. The difference is, his fight has already been completed. You just need to move into him. You understand? That's your fight. Sin is trying to pull you out of Him. The Holy Spirit's trying to pull you into Him.
Amen.
Your fight is your decision on where to be and how to handle it. Okay? Now here's the strange part. And there's no condemnation here. As we go through life and fight, sometimes, like I did, you miss the cues. You're just dumber than a post that day. Call it whatever you want. You just missed it. And that thing grabs a hold of you. Well, it's past the time of walking in health. Now's the time to be healed. Two different things. Totally different things. No condemnation in either one. We just need to remember that. The accuser there is to condemn you, make you feel bad about whatever it is. In whatever way he can, he's going to do that. If we take the cue from the Holy Spirit, we'll walk in health. Doesn't mean we won't ever feel bad. It means it won't last long. If we miss the cue, which we're humans, and sometimes we're going to do that, then we're going to have to start the battle to be healed. Well, Stan, you said we're already healed. That's right. You just got to get your body into that healing. And it's harder when you're down than when you're up. Neither one's a sin. Just fight the good fight of faith. That's what that's referring to. Fight the good fight of faith. We've got to enforce our walk with our talk.
Just that, once again, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we miss the cue, because there was warning signs. There were so many red flags, to not just to you, but to other people in our party. But we were too busy with our...
what we wanted to do.
Yes.
To not listen to what God wanted us to do. Okay. By the way, many times the Holy Spirit speaks through other people. Why? To keep us submitted, so we don't become an island to ourselves. That's where the foolishness of preaching comes in. Right? All right. I'm going to make some very basic statements here. You probably need to write these down, read them, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to do them in number. Number one, Adam sinned, which brought a curse to the world and all of mankind. Did you hear me? There has been never, except for the Jesus Christ, who was not fathered by a human, there's never been a person, not Mary, not Mother Teresa, not Saint, what's his name? There's never been anybody ever born that was not born into a curse on this earth because of one man's sin. Now listen to me. Why do you want me to realize that? Well, first I want you to realize where you have or where you are, and I want you to realize how easy it is going to be out of it. Okay? Because of one man's sin, all must be born again, even your precious grandchildren.
Yep, that's right.
They're dirty little rotten sinners until they're saved. Everybody say amen.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, so are you. Dirty, rotten sinners until you're saved. Then you are no longer dirty, rotten sinners. All right, let me read a couple of scriptures to you. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Where did death come from?
Sin.
And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Just a duplication of saying, death came from sin, all are going to die because of sin. Number two, God the Father, through Jesus on the cross, delivered me from the curse of sin. Now, I want you to say that back to me. I am delivered from the curse of sin.
I am delivered from sin.
Okay. No exceptions. Say it. No exceptions. That means under no condition do you have the right to be poor, sick, and downhearted.
Amen.
You can't say one without saying the whole thing. If sin is the father of all death and destruction, and Jesus delivered us from that through God through Jesus Christ, then no exceptions to the rule. Right? Well, but no. You see, the butt will kill you. The butt will kill you. Don't butt the word. The word is the word. It's the final statement. There is no comma, semicolon, or but after the word. There's where we lose most of our battles is we butt. See, I have done so-and-so, so therefore I... No. No. When you begin to realize that something needs to change in your life, you have a grace period, but you have a grace period to change, not to stay the same. Let me read this to you. Romans 5:14-21. These are facts we're going to read. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. The rich young ruler said, I have kept these commandments from my youth. Jesus said, not enough. Okay, that's what this is saying. I don't care if you've sinned or you've not sinned, you've sinned. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Let me say it this way. If sin If Adam's sin caused all to sin, do you think Adam's sin was stronger than Jesus' price he paid? That's what this is really saying. If sin had that much power over mankind, how much more power did Jesus have over mankind? You know why it's saying that? Because he was dealing with people that didn't quite believe like you don't quite believe what I'm telling you this morning. You just don't, you have a hard time grasping the fact that you aren't much good and Jesus says you are. You want to believe the acts that you've committed more than the act that Jesus has committed. Come on. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Now let me just stop for a second. What does justification mean? You've been justified. That means you've been set free. The bill has paid. There aren't any more offenses. And the only offensive thing now is for you to say anything else or believe anything else. It's like we nearly have an easier time believing in Adam's sin than we do in Jesus' justification. Why? Because that's what our flesh wants to do. Our flesh wants to believe that we're worthy of death and destruction more than we're worthy of being righteous and holy. See? No amens. I proved it. For by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. It's saying again, that little sin that Adam committed doesn't hold a candle to the justification that Jesus performed or accomplished. Now, you need to learn that thought process because this isn't the last time the devil's going to talk to you. You need to be able to say to him, I know what you did, and I know what Jesus did, and it's a whole lot bigger than what you did. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. That's why we never want to dwell in condemnation, because we know who the Father that is. Now, that doesn't mean I could say to you, you need a haircut, and condemnation will come. So don't blame me for your condemnation. I'm not the father of that. If condemnation comes, don't you slap me. You slap the father of this thing. There's your fight. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. What's that saying? You have the right to life, not death. You have no right to death. You have a right to life. Because later it says if you choose the death, you think that you deserve death, then you want to crucify Jesus again. And he's not going to get crucified again. You're the loser. He's not. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That's a statement. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. What are you saying there? Law is an offense. Don't operate in law. What's law? What's law? Here's the law that Christians like to operate in. It's flu season. I got to get the flu. That's law. Is it flu season? Is it, come on, is there a season of flu? Is there a season of sore throats and colds? That's where the law came from. They say so, therefore they get. What's your law? Justification and life. Justification of life. That's your law. But it's a law of life in Christ Jesus. Therefore, this is saying it makes you immune to the law of offense. The law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Just remember, guys, whatever a problem is facing in your mind, facing you, there is a bigger solution. And all you have to do is cast your care on the bigger solution, and you're going to find that peace and freedom abounds. That's law also, but it's a law of life in Christ Jesus. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, number three. By the way, let me put this in capsulized form. Don't make me make it a suppository. That'll be the Holy Spirit way of saying something to you. I'm going to give it to you and swallow it and taste good, or I'm going to give it to you. Hey, by the way, is that okay with you? If God gives it to you any way he has to? See, that's the cool part. When you really yield it to God, you don't care how it comes. Just God let it come. Number three. Oh, let me capsulize this thing. Reject sin. Put on the one who's never sinned. That's what this whole thing in Romans is saying. Reject the sin. How do you do that? You put on the one who's never sinned. Come on, just let that soak in just for a minute because it's a powerful statement. When you walk, the reason you walk, can walk boldly into the throne of God is because you first put on the one that has never sinned. See, God really doesn't want to look at us. I don't mean to be rude. We weren't made for beauty. We were made for endurance. That means in the long run, we're going to be with God. And when we put on Christ Jesus and walk boldly into the throne, he does not see me. Therefore, he cannot see my past. He sees Jesus, who pleases him extremely. Therefore, when I walk in, I please him extremely. That's how come I can walk in boldly. So don't, when you walk and talk and live and move and have your being, you must do it in Christ Jesus or you are a sinner. Now listen to me. Grace and mercy is God the Father through Jesus Christ. Let me say it another way. There was no way, because of Adam's sin, that we could put on a sinless body. I don't care what anybody's ever taught you. You cannot walk in your body sinless before God the Father, except if you put on Jesus Christ, your righteousness. If you put on Jesus Christ, your holiness. I have two different dresses. I got the old dirty, greasy jeans, the old spotted up t-shirts, and I've got this. Part of the emphasis of dressing up for Sunday is not, it became a society social show, is what it came in church, but it really was an emphasis of you putting on something different. Amen. That's what it was really about. And if we could just get that down, that when I go to the Father, whether it's a little snippet prayer or whether it's a long one, I need to first put on Jesus Christ or it will not be heard. When Jesus said, pray this way, he said, our Father. See, to me, when you speak the Lord's Prayer with wisdom and understanding, the minute you say, our Father, you have put on Christ Jesus. Otherwise, 99.9% of the time when somebody talks about your Father, you don't think about God. We have to get our mindset of who we are. I am not the the son of J.W. I'm the son of God the Father.
Amen.
The Bible says that I must forsake my father and my mother. Does it not? If I don't do that, I can never take on the Father as my dad, as my father. For you fathers that have children, you got to get a little more mature so before you can know that your son no longer thinks of you as his father. But it's that maturity that we need. Reject sin and put on the one who's never sinned. That's the only way you can walk in sinless to the throne of God, because you know what you've done. Come on, let's start using that as a positive instead of a negative. Let's quit fearing our past. Say, no problem to God the Father. I put on Jesus. Now I'm worthy to be whole and healthy and righteous and rich and pure and peaceful. Number three, the enemy wants to flood us with guilt so that we forget our cross, forget our forgiveness, and forget our victory in Christ Jesus. Please, listen to me. You have a full-time accuser. You don't just have a full-time God. You have a full-time accuser. And his job is to make you forget who you are in Christ Jesus. You are healed, you are whole, you are righteous, you are holy. In Christ Jesus, you are sinless. And his job is to remind you that you are not that. Your job is to remind him who he ain't, or who he is, the defeated one. You put it in your own lingo. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Hey, you know what this is saying? You're not in this alone. 59:19, Isaiah 59:19. You are not in this battle alone. If you will just stop in the middle of a battle just long enough to remember Jesus Christ, even if it's for just that law. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come in. Give you the tools, give you the information. Why? Because he's proud of the victory of Jesus Christ. He wants you to be reminded. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Who's the standard against the enemy? You are. Jesus has completed his victory. You are the standard that says, that, well, I don't need to put it in my words. You are the standard that mocks the enemy. Write on that standard whatever you want. You're the one. That's why the Holy Spirit comes and jogs you and says things to you. So you will be able to mock and defeat the enemy. You're the standard that rises up. You're it. You're it. What are you going to say? I'm healed. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm righteous and I'm holy and I'm rich. And you know what? I'm smart. Devil, you fellowship with God and you blew it. I'm not that dumb. You are. You say whatever it takes to mock and defeat the enemy, because in that process, you're being lifted up. Remember the standard being lifted up? You are the standard that's being lifted up. Number four, we got to choose. You don't choose once. You choose, you choose, you choose. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. This is your choice. He'll hate the one and love the other. He'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What's mammon? It isn't money. Mammon is not money. It's anything that will draw you from God. Can be money. Can be food. Can be sleep. Can be TV. Can be anything in the world. Can be bowling. If it keeps you from God, it's mammon. You're going to serve one. Listen to this. You will serve one or the other. If you can remember this scripture, you're going to be able to understand why people get so screwed up and you can't understand. Because you don't understand why they're allowing this thing to be their God. What thing, Stan? It can be something as little as milk. It can be something huge. It depends on what stage of life you're in, spiritually speaking. I'm telling you, God refines you. That means when you first start believing him, only the huge things count. But as time goes on, he'll deal with the finer things and the littler things and the littler things. To where you, if you're not careful, you'll stop listening because you think they're too little. But God's trying to get all of the serving mammon out of you and all of you serving him. You know Deuteronomy 28. It tells you got to choose. Recommends you to choose life, and I'm not going to take the time to read all of that. Number five, can we choose just once? 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now listen to me. I am not teaching you insecurity. When I tell you once saved, always saved won't work, that is not insecurity. That is an eternal God with an eternal message encouraging you. Eternal, every day, every hour ministry. Can you imagine having a God like that? That's on the stick, on the ball, on the job, 24/7. What? Causing you to be saved moment by moment. That's encouraging to me. It's not discouraging. Can you imagine? How crude can I be? I'll take the crudest thing I can think of. How about that? Can you imagine getting married and having sex once? I like a little more ministry than that. How about you? I wouldn't want to be saved once. I would think it would be the most boring thing on the face of the earth to have nothing else to look forward to. But I don't care if I'm 10 minutes old or 100 years old. I still have another salvation process to look. That is so exciting to me that I have a God that wants to whittle and to carve and to touch and to, every little old thing that's holding me back, he wants to touch it. And I have something new and exciting every day to look forward to. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, I know there's a phrase in there you did not want to hear, so I'm going to say it at least twice more. Deny himself. Deny himself. One of the major portions of salvation daily is to deny yourself. Oh, man, you're going there. No, I'm gone. You need to catch up. I'm not going there. Your whole salvation is wrapped up in denying you.
Yes,
the veil that keeps you out of the Holy of Holies.
That's right.
Come on. You want to do the wrong thing. The Spirit of God in you wants to do the right thing. That's the war. How hard is it? Deny yourself. Self, we're not going to do that. Self, you're not going to be sick. Self, you're not going to be poor. Self, you're not going to be stupid. Self, you're not going to make all those silly, goofy mistakes. I'm not talking about the nonsense that the world wants to deal with. Self, you can't commit adultery. Oh, please. Surely I'm talking to people that are past that. No? I was worried there for a minute. Number 6, are you sure? Basic things here, guys. And I'm going to say it another way. If we are so sure, why do we have so many worries? If we're really sure, we're not going to worry about anything. Galatians 3:10-14. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. What are the works of the law? Righteous and unrighteous. If they're works, they're wrong. Let me say it another way. If you think you can work yourself into heaven, you are wrong. The work has been done. Your work now is to put on Christ Jesus. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth, not in all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Listen to me. I don't care how good you think you are, it ain't enough. Come on. Chuck, you think you're pretty good. It ain't enough. Stan thinks he's pretty good. It is not enough. I don't care what sins I have not committed. It's not enough. The rest of my life and all of my life, as the rich young ruler, I could obey every commandment, not ever tell a lie, not ever steal, not ever do anything that I know is offensive to God. And this scripture would apply to me. I am still not justified except in Christ Jesus. Now let me turn that around. So why do I need to worry about what I have done or what I'm going to do? Why don't I worry about what Jesus has done? Quit worrying about the sin. Put on the one that's never sinned. Quit worrying about the poverty. Put on the one that's never been poor. Which is better, to take a family crest or crown or name that's of poverty or of wealth? Sickness or health? Boy, this is hard, isn't it? We're the ones that make it hard. The Holy Spirit of the living God makes it simple. Turn from the one that's you and everybody else that has sinned and put on the one that has never sinned. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Whoa. If we're justified, we're living by faith. If we're worrying, we're not justified. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. If you're going to live by the law, live in them. Obey the law. All of them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. There was a special blessing for Abraham, and then it came on all the Gentiles, so there's no longer a special blessing.
That's right.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now listen to me. You've been redeemed into life, and that more abundantly. Anything that comes against that is law. Every one of you, and kind of down there in those dark corners that need to be swept out of your brain or your heart, you believe that once in a while you ought to get sick. Way down there deep. It's part of the battle that's within. Way down there deep where it needs to be swept. You believe you deserve a little bad for the bad that you've done. Come on, way down there that we don't even like to look at or talk about. Well, let's don't look about it and talk about it. Let's just say that we're redeemed.
Amen.
We're justified.
That's right.
And there's nothing I've ever done or ever will do that will overcome the redemption and the justification that Jesus accomplished for me.
Amen.
Say for me.
For me.
I don't want it, I don't want you to hear it. It's just for me. You need to hear it. It's for you.
Yes.
It's for me. That has redeemed me from the curse of the law that's on every other man that has not received the redemption or the justification. I'll let that soak in just a minute. Only Christians have the right to say what this scripture is saying. Those that have not been redeemed from the curse of the law deserve the curse of the law. Please, don't you be their covering. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can be their covering. They have to go through what they have to go through. They have to come to the point that they know that their good works or their good life or their sneaking by is not going to work anymore. Please, look at me just for a second. You are the standard. Didn't I just show you that? You are the standard? If you don't lift up that standard, sinners will not know what the standard is. I don't care if it's an enemy or a friend or a loved one. You will be the standard, or you might be the facilitator for them to go to hell. And nobody wants that. Right? Please listen to me. You do not have the right to be loved by everybody. You have the right to be hated by everybody. If your goal is to be loved by your children, your grandchildren, your family, your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, or whatever, you have a wrong goal in your life. Your goal should be, I am a standard lifted up by the Spirit of the living God. And when the enemy comes in, like a flood, he's lifting me up. I have a responsibility to God the Father to show him abroad, to reveal him to the situation. Galatians, are you sure? Galatians 3:26 through 29. For ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Do you have the faith, the knowledge, and the understanding that you are a child of God? Then you are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Please, one of the worst teachings on the face of the earth was Jesus lives in me. It paints the wrong picture. It's like I can't go anywhere or do anything and get rid of this guy. The Bible soundly teaches that you in Christ Jesus is your salvation, not Christ Jesus in you. Now, we understand Christ Jesus is in me. I'm not saying he's not. I said don't teach that to your children. Teach them that they need to get into Christ Jesus. Because one puts all the burden on Jesus, the other one puts the burden on you. Jesus doesn't have any burdens. You understand that? So us teaching wrongly is not going to put burdens on him. Jesus is not going to run you down, put you on the ground, smack you in the nose until you let him in. For there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. Just in case somebody thinks they're hot stuff because they're the seed of Abraham, you are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. And any Jew or Gentile or preacher that tries to teach you that somebody has a better deal than you, you tell them they're of the devil and they don't know what they're talking about. Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, anybody in here a son or a daughter? Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. And your hearts are continually crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but you're a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you, technically in the Scripture, Abraham was a son. He wasn't an heir. You're an heir. That's why this scripture took it past the sonship and into heirship. Number 7. 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. I am as sure as the Bible and the decision that I just made. Listen to me carefully. I said that. I want you to hear it. I am as sure as the Bible and I'm as sure as the decision that I just made according to the Bible. I can be no more sure than the last decision that I made. Please understand that. You can be no more sure than the last decision that you made. That's why it says, choose you this day. Give me this day my daily bread. I wake up every morning and I make a decision. I'm God's or I'm not God's. Why? Because the first thought you have may not be God's thought. Right. If not the second one or the third one, you need to question. Is this day about God or is it about me? By God's love, by the cross, by this decision, and by my covenant with God, I am saved. You ought to write that on the wall somewhere. You're not saved because you deserved it. And nobody in here can argue that you're saved because you deserved it. You're saved because you made a decision that you're saved. Listen to me. The blood of Jesus never touched you. You've never once. You cannot show me a place where the blood of Jesus touched you. This is all spiritually we're talking about. You're saved by the blood, no doubt. But it's by you believing that there was a work done that saved you. You have to believe that. Otherwise, you're lost without hope. And you have to believe it. Listen to me. It's more important that you believe it while you're in the battle than when you're on the hilltop.
Yes.
When you're in the midst of a sick battle or a poverty battle or a worry battle or a 666 battle or whatever it is, that's when you need to reaffirm your salvation. God, are you real? Have you ever asked God, is he real? Because you won't get one period past that before you'll know if you're a son of God. You talk back to the Father and see if you don't get some proof. Come on. If you stood up, put your hand on your hip and say, are you sure you're my dad? What's going to happen? If it's a hurt, if it's a question out of pain, there's going to be a gracious and merciful response. If it's a smart aleck question, there's going to be a gracious and merciful response. You just may not like it as well. Listen, you don't hurt God by saying, are you sure you're real? You're going to hurt him. You're not going to make him worry if he's real or not. He doesn't have to prove it to you, but he loves you. He loves you. You're saved. You're free. You're blessed all the time, everywhere, even when it doesn't feel like it. That's when your decision comes in there. I'm blessed all the time, everywhere. I'm healed, even when I don't feel so healed. I'm saved when I don't feel so saved, Terry. I'm good when I don't feel so good. I'm righteous when I don't feel so righteous. Because I don't go by feeling, I go by the facts that God has presented to me.
Amen?
Amen. I'm rich. I'm filled with the Spirit of the living God. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And I'm not filled by somebody else's standards. I don't have to prove to anybody any way that I'm filled with the Spirit. You'll see it in my lifestyle. That takes a while. You can't do that in a minute or two. I'm more powerful than any enemy that's ever approached me. I am loved by God. I am in Christ Jesus. I am bulletproof. Can you imagine how much braver you'd be if you just knew beyond a shadow of a doubt you're bulletproof? Well, maybe you need to start saying, I'm bulletproof. I walk an abundant life, not just in wealth. See, I don't want wealth without abundant life. I'd take the abundant life over wealth any day. Can I prove it to you? Husbands, how much would you take for your wife? Come on, how much would you take for your wife? I don't know why. That hit me the other day. Just, it was in one of those sleep things when God's ministering. And I was offered $40 million for Connie. And then I was offered $400 million for Connie. And instantly my answer was, nope, nope. Why? I'm not flattering her. I'm telling you that there's some values in our life that are worth more than money. Let's don't get the cart before the horse. Let's understand that abundant life is much more important than abundance. But they come together. Because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's to your bank account and to your physical body. I'm delivered from all curses. And they cannot return. The devil is defeated. I'm more than the conqueror, and I'm more than a conqueror. I'm seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. I have an advocate that cares for me all the time. And there's more. Now, this is the end, by the way. There's more. But to find out what more there is, we have to get serious about what we already know. Does that make sense? You learn how to cook eggs, and then you can learn how to cook them fancy. But you don't learn how to cook them fancy first. There's a deeper way to go. When the tempter comes in with fear and worry, we decide to be free in the cross, in the promise, by the Spirit, and we will grow each time we decide to go with God. Let me tell you something. You want me to tell you the advantage of being tempted 1,000 times a day? You get to grow 1,000 times a day when you make the right decision. When you resist the enemy and he flees, there's a growth process in you and a shrinkage process in him.
God.
Come on. I told you this before. I'm going to remind you. Battles bring victories. Victories bring boldness. Boldness brings more power and success. Thank God for the battles. The bottom line of that, the sum of that, is thank God for the battles. Sometimes when you call and say, pray for me, I hear, I'm nearly defeated. Come on. Come on, you know you get to feeling that way once in a while. It's got to be something I'm doing. There's too many things going bad. Oh, is that a fact? How about that God is giving you a lot of opportunities to grow? Listen to me. I am not trying to blow up your skirt. I'm telling you that you are already overcomers.
Yes.
You've already won. We should not have to cover that simplicity again. Don't call me saying, are you sure I'm an overcomer? If we want, you want to call for prayer and agreement, that means that you are going to overcome majestically this opposition that you're going through. I'm telling you, I mean, you're going to come out smelling like a rose, and the standard's going to be higher, and you're going to be stronger, and the enemy's going to be weaker. That's what we're agreeing on. Don't ask me to agree that the enemy's defeated. It's done. I agree with you. He's defeated. How many more times we got to do that? Now ask me to stand with you in his defeat and your victory. Amen? I am in him. He's my salvation. He's my righteousness. He's my wealth. He's my health. I walk in, God sees me. Listen to this last statement. There is no other judgment. Are you listening to me? When God says, I am righteous, there is no other judgment. If I make up my mind there's no other judgment, then I'm going to stand in his judgment of me. If I listen to the enemy, I'm going to stand in his judgment of me.
Right.
The battle is, which voice do I choose? I'm a loser or I'm a winner? Guys, this is how easy this is. Which voice am I going to listen to? You're a loser or you're a winner? Then there is no other judgment. Because when you choose that, you cut off the other voice.
Amen.
Oh, my body. It's telling me it's sick. Wait a minute. God says I'm whole. I'm healed. Cut off the judgment. Accept the final judgment.
Amen.
By the way, there is no other voice but God's.
Amen.
There is no other voice but God's. Why do we even look for one? That's the question. Deal with it this week according to the message that I just gave. The voice is going to come to you and tell you how bad you are, how much of a loser, how much right you have to be sick, poor. You need to cut that voice off. This is the battle that you have. Choose you this day. God, I choose your voice. I'm standing in Christ Jesus. Let me picture this. When you have put on Christ Jesus, there is no sin. There is only righteousness. Do you know what that means? That means you have put on an impenetrable armor, and no weapon formed against you can now prosper. I don't care what it looks like, feels like. Come on. We've got to get serious enough about this thing to reside there, to be able to put on Christ Jesus and now know that you're bulletproof. What kind of bullets? Any arrow, any dart, any word, anything that would pluck you from the hand of God, anything that would pluck you from the promises of God, anything that would take away your ability to stand as a standard before the world and say, yes, I remember Paul. One of the hardest things it took me a while to swallow. Paul said, do it my way and everything will be okay. Are you that kind of standard? You can stand before a sinner. You can stand before a child. You can stand before a neighbor, a workmate, and you can say, if you'll do it the way I'm doing it, you'll make it. Until we can do that, you don't understand what putting on Christ Jesus means. Because what you're really saying is, don't look at me, look at Christ Jesus. Right?
Right. Amen.
If we could get in our mind, if I could get in my mind, if you could get in yours, that on Sunday morning, let's just start there. When I stand before you talking, I am not the guy you're listening to. Because I put on Christ Jesus. I didn't just put him on as a coat. I put him on from above my head to below my feet. And you're not going to see me and you're not going to hear me. You're going to hear Jesus. Then I know what lifting up a standard is. Now if I can start that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I don't care if I have to take it a day at a time, just however it's going to work. We're going to see some lives change. We're going to see some people healed. And it's going to start right here. Because my mind is going to be healed. I'm going to stop thinking dumb thoughts. I'm going to stop allowing dumb thoughts to come into me. Do I deserve the dumb thoughts? Yes. Does Christ Jesus? No. So I have to put him on. Right? I can learn to say, you don't talk to Jesus that way and watch people throw stones. That doesn't give me right to do anything I want or say anything I want because I'm standing before God the Father. It says, my spirit is forever crying, Abba, Father. As long as the sonship in me is crying, Abba, Father, I won't fall into the scripture that says, thinking themselves wise become fools. I'll tell you where that applies, and that to one that thinks themselves wise and becomes fool is those that think they can do anything and say anything and still please the Father.
Amen.
In your body, there are some things you can't eat. Why is that? It's a lesson to teach you that in Christ Jesus, the body, there's some things you can't take in there. That make sense?
Yeah.
The physical mimics the spiritual. Me and broccoli don't get along. Doesn't mean you and broccoli don't get along. It means me and broccoli don't get along. This is not a matter of like or dislike. Harry eats a 50-pound bag of oatmeal. I can't take a spoonful because there's going to be violent reactions. Who's wrong? Neither one of us. Neither one of us are wrong. There are some teachings in our physical bodies that we need to remember in the spirit realm. God made us different, requires different things. Why? He loves different. I'm not stamped out of some cookie cutter. I'm not. I'm not chocolate chip. I'm not a brownie. I'm whatever God made me. Take it or leave it. And when I learn to say that to Stan, then I can live that before everybody else. As long as I'm trying to fit into somebody's likeness and image, I have not put on Christ Jesus. God is good. He visits often and makes you smile. Does that happen in your life? That just a little bit, He's just come for no reason and you're just happy. Yeah, thank you, God. I'm not supposed to feel happy now. See, that's your body. That's the enemy. That's the law. I don't have to have a reason. God is my reason. And I'm not talking about you're supposed to be happy all the time. I'm talking about those special times that somehow God just makes you want to bust out laughing. That's when my wife looks at me and goes, "What's he up to?" She thinks it's her. So let her think that. Praise the Lord. A basic step one, step two, step three message. If you'll get a hold of it, if you'll practice it, it'll be the most powerful word you ever heard in your life. Got to practice. All right, stand with me. Praise your Lord. Father, I wish the whole world could have heard what you said here today.
Yes.
Mostly, I wish the whole church could have heard.
Yeah.
It would have changed the world. But would you get a hold of your church, your body, those that call you by name, and rattle them to the core? Teach us all and them too to get serious about you.
Yes.
To stop looking for goosebumps and for thrills and for flighty things, things that will never get into the kingdom of God. And begin to teach them to be solid and sold out to you. So sold out to you that you will defend, that I will defend, that your people will defend what you've done and our right to live in it. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for redeeming us from the curse, that by your works we're justified and we're righteous and we're holy in you. Remind us on a moment-by-moment basis every day until we get to be that muscle-bound, spiritually muscle-bound entity that the enemy literally screams and runs from. That we're not seeking you, we have found you. And that we don't have to beg and plead for what we're to think or what we're to do, but we just are in you. Our steps are ordered. If we are in you, we are walking where you're walking, we're going where you're going, we're talking what you're talking. And we're just going to believe that until it is manifested and it changes the world. We love you, Lord. Raise us up to be your standard against the enemy, not only for ourselves but for other people. And that's what this is about, the kingdom of God. Teach us to bring in jewels to your crown for these things. We know they're done. We know they're truth. We know they're the final statement and there's no other judgment. We thank you and praise you. We do all this for the Father in the name of Jesus. And everybody that agrees says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.